May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In today's readings, a summary of them could well be: real love is discovered when we encounter Jesus and live life his way. Real love is discovered when we encounter Jesus and live life his way. John puts it like this: this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Real love is discovered when we encounter Jesus and live life his way. But for me, life often feels like it is a complex mix of beauty and deep drama. It's hard to get a handle on it sometimes. I recently saw a documentary of a guy who free dives. He holds his breath and sinks down to the bottom of the sea, and he watches. Around him is happening a metaphor of life. The ocean floor can be muddy and unpleasant, but around him life is beautiful and interesting, and lots are happening. But there are also dangers and everywhere threats, fearful threats. So as the excitement builds and the fears build within him, he holds his breath. The emotions and tensions build. I can't just stay here. If I breathe, I die. What do I do? What do I do next? And then he swims upward and breaks the surface, and the air fills his lungs and the sun shines on his skin. He's still in the ocean. The threats and the beauty are still there, but something is different. He has an immediate release. The tension drops. He can breathe again, and he can focus and reflect. It's like starting to live again. God's love does that for us. We've all found ourselves struggling to hold our breath when life gets tough. Imagine the royal family, with two important members fighting cancer and the others seeking to support them, all within the glare of publicity. Or imagine the Abdullah family, who had three children and a niece killed in February 2020 by a drug-affected driver mowing them down. It's breathtaking in its tragedy. How can they make sense of it? Or imagine if you were in Bondi or Wakeley in the last week or so. Imagine Christians in war zones facing fear and hunger and deprivation day after day, when they often have no part in or influence over the causes of the conflict. These are people are all holding their breath. What can they do? How can they catch their breath and find a place to focus and reflect and to live again? Each of these groups of people, for each of them there is a place. They can swim upwards and find light and the breath of life, even as they're surrounded by the pain and the struggle. This seriously important offer, which is made to them and to us, was established on that first Easter 2,000 years ago. And today's readings lead us through how this offer of love from God can achieve its aims in us. So it all began with Jesus. Imagine the Son of God willingly coming to the world, not to judge, but to save. And the very people he came to save take him, betray him, humiliate him, torture him, and kill him. And they kill him in the most agonizing way on the criminal's cross. He was at the bottom of the ocean of life, sharing the space with us. But he was there preparing a safe place for us to swim to. And this is no accident of life. It was planned, and he submitted to it willingly, and he carried it forward in love. John records the words, what Jesus taught. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. In love, he laid down his life for every one of us who holds their breath in the ocean of life and suffers the threats and terrors that are all around us, some caused by our own sin, some caused by sin in the world, but each of us needing a rock, a rescuer, a saviour. That is our Lord Jesus, our shepherd, our cornerstone, the sacrificial lamb who is also the Lion of Judah. So what Jesus began was carried forward by the disciples. Imagine what life was like for a crippled beggar sitting outside the temple. He had no prospects, not even any certainty of survival. Here is another person holding his breath and needing somewhere to flee to find new life. Peter and John could actually help that because they knew what Jesus had started. Peter said to the lame man, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. The man went walking and jumping and, most importantly, praising God, because he had had an encounter with the source of life. But the disciples now have to explain where this life-giving power came from. They were imprisoned overnight and called to court the next day. And this is where our reading picks up that drama. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called on to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This truth is the breath of life and hope for us all. It is the truth which warms us as our sins are forgiven, as our lives are changed, and we begin to live for God. Jesus started it, the disciples carried it forward, but it is there for each of us today, no matter what our sin, no matter what are the dark dramas of our lives. So often, I at least find that the traumas of life are a spiritual growth point. I don't know whether you find that, but it happens for me. Because in them we find the breath of God in the Holy Spirit, pointing us to the source of life in Jesus. In him alone we have been saved. In him alone we are being saved. And in him alone and we will ultimately be saved. It's an amazing offer of love which brings us real life. November that's just passed, last November, there was a national parliamentary prayer breakfast in Canberra. They have it every year. And the keynote speakers were Leela and Danny Abdullah, who had lost three children of their own and a niece when that drug-affected driver crashed his ute into the children when they were walking along a West Sydney footpath. February the 1st, 2020. And I'm sure you all heard about it, and I'm sure most of you remember it. Danny Abdullah told the prayer breakfast, "That day I faced with a question, no father should ever be asked. What are you going to do? You can either lose all your family by seeking revenge and remaining bitter, or you can forgive and lose only half your family. What a tough question. Today," he said, "I want to talk to you about the fruits of forgiveness. I forgave the driver that tragically killed our children along with our cousin Veronique. And the reason I forgave him was that I wanted to be obedient to our Lord and Saviour and honour him at whatever cost." Danny's wife Leela, told how she was independently led to the same decision. They swam up from the depths and breathed in the Spirit of God. They embraced what Jesus offered them in the midst of their enormous grief. "Now, looking back," says Danny, "I can tell you the benefits, all the fruits of forgiveness in our family, our community, and in this beautiful nation. This year, on Wednesday, the 30th of August," he says, "I went to visit the driver who ran over my children, Samuel Davidson. It was a Holy Spirit moment. He told the gathering Samuel Davidson's had been converted and had a conversion to Christ, which Danny had just learnt about. Danny says, "It blew me away. He's now a Christian that prays every day and reads his Bible. And I asked Samuel Davidson why. And he goes, 'Because I want to have what you have. Your act of forgiveness is the reason why I wanted to unite myself with Jesus. I was in isolation in prison as everyone in the prison was furious for the crime I committed. And when the inmates in prison saw your documentary, The Blink of an Eye, and witnessed firsthand the act of forgiveness from your family, I was undeservedly left alone.'" Danny continued, "Sometimes we don't realise to carry an unforgiving heart becomes a burden on the ones that you love the most. Holding a grudge, not forgiving, and remaining bitter is contagious. You can quite easily pass it down to your loved ones." Leela told the parliamentary prayer breakfast, "Forgiveness is the core message of Christianity. Forgiveness is the greatest gift you can give to yourself and to others. Forgiveness will set you free from anger and bitterness. Forgiveness brings you hope and peace." I want to say to you, my friends, today, this is the love of God in action. It doesn't come from the human heart. What was begun by Jesus and carried forward by his disciples is explained to us in God's word today and in the lives of people like Danny and Leela Abdullah. When we look at the world, we're staggered by the hate and confusion we see. A supposed schizophrenic in a Bondi shopping centre stabbing multiple victims, mainly women. A young, charged jihadist now in Western Sydney, stabbing a Christian bishop and priest for proclaiming Jesus as the Lord of life. and the riots which followed were deplorable. When we look at our own lives and those close to us, we're often troubled by the challenges of loss and of grief and of sickness. But along with all this, when we meet with new friends or catch up with old ones, when we plan trips and enjoy bushwalks or appreciate this beautiful city in which we live, another set of emotions crowd in on us. Sometimes we hold our breath with the deep immediacy of it all. It's all in our face every day. And then we swim to Jesus, breathe in his love as the Spirit comes, and we live again, loving him and loving our brothers and sisters. Bishop Murmuri Emmanuel is part of that experience, and he has issued messages of forgiveness for his assailant and also messages of rebuke for the rioters, I must say. And these messages are rich in the person and teaching of Jesus. And they're being viewed by thousands of people around the world, bringing them the breath of Christ's love as they see these messages. And whatever you're facing, whatever you're experiencing in life, Jesus, the Lord of love, is also the source of life. John in his epistle says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know by the Spirit he gave us." So I wonder if my summary of today's reading is something that you can take forward into the week. Real love is discovered when we encounter Jesus and live life his way. Or perhaps I could suspect that we could reverse it. Real life is discovered when we encounter Jesus and we love in his way.